This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Remember, online at fmtalk1065.com. Social media platforms are plenty. If there's one out there, we're probably on it. And, of course, the podcast. We'll talk about that going forward. This is a subject we talked about this morning, and it's good to have our next guest on because I have so many questions for this man. He is the director of the Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement at the Department of the Interior. Also one of us, Gulf Coast man, Scott Angel, joining us, and lots to talk about. Thanks for being on the show today.
Well, thank you, Sean. Thank you for having me. I'm coming to you this morning from Houston, Texas. I've come to the front lines in the energy capital of the world, but I assure you it's a lot nicer this morning to be a little bit closer to the crawfish capital than I am to the nation's capital. So good to be talking to my friends in Mobile this morning.
That's good. If we're talking about, of course, a Bro Bridge, home of the crawfish capital of the world, home of Sonny Landreth, and home of Scott Angel. So that's a trifecta right there.
Well, I tell you, that's some hard company for me to keep up with. I did spend some times in my early part of my career working in Mobile. Spent a lot of time right there at first major exit, right, I think, past Theodore.
Yeah.
So certainly Mobile has a long and distinguished history with Mardi Gras, and I think there's even a little bit of French influence there.
Oh, yeah.
So, look, I think Mobile is a great, great spot. And I'm happy to be joining you folks this morning.
You know, we all have a similar perspective, whether you're in Louisiana, whether you're in Houston, whether you're Mississippi or Alabama. We all have, oil and natural gas drilling going on. We have pipelines coming in. We're all the same in our states, right? We deal with this. We are the front lines of producing this offshore energy and bringing it into the country.
No doubt. You know, that when we take a look at the God-given resources that we have that are deposited in the Gulf of Mexico are primarily going to be hosted by, those Gulf Coast states, and certainly when you think of Alabama with their history. Yeah, it's an opportunity, but we got to make sure we do it right. We have to make sure we do it right. America does not have any tolerance for poor safety performance or poor environmental performance. So we got to make sure we do it right.
Is that you've got a career in this, in oil and natural gas. Is that doable? I mean, real frontline, tell me how it is. Is it doable to produce this energy, but also is it doable to do it within the rules in the context of making sure we protect our environment?
Absolutely. I think we have to kind of think of that America's not an either-or country. We are not an either-or nation. We believe that we can do multiple things at one time. And when we take a look at energy and we take a look at, the fact that we go back to the early 70s and we had to go through an oil embargo, it exposed the soft side of America. It shocked our economy. It sent us into a recession. It radically increased our energy prices. We responded by lowering our speed limit, changing our energy efficiency laws, doing a lot of things. And what has happened because over the last several years, and let me also say that I think since 1973, going on my memory, I think we've had six recessions in this country, and each one of them have been preceded by a spike in energy prices. The best way to avoid a spike in energy prices is to make sure that we have affordable energy here at home. And the Gulf Coast produces one in every six, but let me not say Gulf Coast, the Gulf of Mexico produces one in every six barrels of oil that's produced in America. Having said that, that's fine, and we appreciate the contribution that it makes to the economy and to make sure that not only the single mom, but the person living on a fixed income can also have access to that affordable energy, but we will never, ever do it, I think, or accept that it's okay to do it unsafely or without environmental safeguards. So I think clearly 2010 was a wake-up call for America, just like 9/11 was a wake-up call in the airline industry. And the airline industry has responded with a variety of safeguards. And, if you just kind of go back and look since 9/11, there has not been a successful attack on the homeland since then. And we take a look at the lessons learned from 2010, what happened in the Gulf of Mexico, there's been a lot of change and a lot of improvement. So, yes, I believe I'm part of a generation of Americans that believe we can have it all, that at the same time we do it safely, we can have robust production. For me, Sean, It's addition, not subtraction. We can do it all.
It's good to hear, because I mean, there's a part of ensuring that you know, we're doing the best practices for drilling, and knowing going forward that we have the resources ready, and y'all have a plan that if God forbid something did happen, that we'd have the tools to go in there and get after it as soon as possible.
Right, and I think your listeners need to know that in the aftermath of Macondo, one of the things that the 2010 event, one of the things that is required before a company can be eligible for a drilling permit, they have to prove to us that they have access to the resources that they need. So before they start, we need to know what happens in the event that we have a very bad day, and they have to have the equipment. And the calculations are around what's their worst-case discharge. So we take the worst-case situation, and we say, prove to us you have access to the equipment necessary, if you would, to end a bad day. And we don't want to find that out while we're having a bad day.
Right.
We need to know that before. And so, yes, I'm very confident that what you saw play out in 2010 would not play out again.
It's good news. Just joining us, talking to the director of the Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement, Scott Angel. And let's talk about the flip side here on the positive side. This is pretty exciting as we look at energy. What the president has moved here, President Trump's energy independence plan. There's been, of course, a lot more production, and it's good looking half a world away what goes on in oil-producing areas there. So I think it makes people happy to have more of it being here at home. So what do you see? Like, do you see more growth in offshore energy production for the Gulf Coast? What are you seeing going forward? What's 2020 hold?
Great, great question. And so, you know, I think what we are doing, we are delivering on President Trump's promises that we were going to embrace homegrown domestic energy. And you know, when you take a look of the globe, the 71% of the globe is made up of oceans, and 50% of America, when you take a look at the outer continental shelf, 50% of the acreage in America is made up of oceans. So it only makes common sense, right, that we would use those God-given resources in a way to improve our national security, our energy security, and certainly our economic security. So what we are seeing is offshore went through a very, very difficult time during the price collapse of 2014, 2015. And what we're seeing is kind of a scratching and clawing back. Offshore is still in a recovery phase. It has not exited recovery. But we are seeing signs that the patient is getting better, that there are more and more investment dollars that are returning. And that's a good thing. But again, no matter what it is, we should always make sure that safety and environmental integrity lead the way.
So these, once again, we're circling back, but in your estimate here, these two things are absolutely can coexist. We can be safe, we can do this, and we can still grow the offshore energy production.
Absolutely, and let me give you an example of and I compare it to the airline industry. I was recently on an airline, and we were all loading up, as all of us have done from one time or another, and the pilot came on and he welcomed us to ABC Airline, and He made the following statement. He said, hey, listen, thank you for joining and flying with ABC Airlines. And, you know, we look like there's an opportunity for us to make up a little time. Perhaps we'll do a few things here. And our goal is to get you there safely and on time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay. It's okay for the airline industry to have it, because none of us would accept that we would get there unsafely, and none of us would accept that we would habitually be not on time.
Right.
So we allow, and it's okay for us to kind of gather around a concept that it's not an either-or equation, that we don't either get there on time or get there safely. We hope and expect to be able for both of those things to happen. There are other instances in America where, you know, it's not an either-or equation. And I certainly believe if we continue to focus on continuous improvement, we lead with safety and environmental stewardship. And look, for me, your audience can tell my accent.
Mm-hmm.
My accent is clearly a South Louisiana accent. And I sit in the church pew with the folks, you know, who work offshore. Mm-hmm. I coach the kids in pity basketball of the kids who parents that work offshore. So absolutely, we're not going to ever take our eye off that ball. Now, you know, there are no doubt there are challenges, and we need to mitigate those challenges, and I'm confident we are.
I've heard you in the past speak about two Gulf of Mexicos when it comes to oil and gas. What does that mean?
You know, look, the Gulf of Mexico, one big body of water, right? But when it comes to oil and gas, there are two bodies of water. We have this thing called the shallow water province, which would be out from perhaps the state line out to about 200 meters of water depth. And then beyond that, we call that deep water. And the shallow water, obviously, was the first one that we discovered. It's been around since 1947. We've had about 48,000 wells that have been drilled. It's mostly a natural gas province. Deep water, on the other hand, we would call, for purposes of this conversation, beyond 200 meters of water depth, mostly an oil province, only about 5,000 wells drilled. And one of them has been in a surging, and that is the deep water. And one of them has been in a steep decline, and that is the shallow water. Looking at the data that I began to look at, it was clear to me that the previous administration looked at this and said, you know, it's over. The game is over in the shallow water. We just don't have any more resources. And I think they let it continue to decline. And again, those jobs that are shallow water, often supported by folks from Mississippi and Alabama and Louisiana and Texas. And when I begin to look at the numbers and we asked one of our sister agencies to help us determine the value, they determined that they thought there was $20 billion, that's where the beach on, $20 billion worth of hydrocarbons that were at risk of being stranded in the shallow water province alone. But yet we continue to find a significant decline over the last 10 years. There's been a decrease of about 89% in the number of wells drilled in the shallow water province. There's been a 77% decrease in the volume of oil production in the shallow waters. There's been a 92% decrease in the production of natural gas from the shallow waters. I didn't finish first in my class, but I can assure you that if I'm looking at 89% reduction, 77% reduction, and a 92% reduction, that would tell me that we got a problem with the patient. And then at the same time, our sister agency is telling us that there may be $20 billion worth of trapped hydrocarbons there. So we're looking to what policies we might be able to change and amend so that we can attract the capital necessary to do the work in those shallow water provinces to make sure that we can make this energy available for America. I also want to share with you, I know that your time is short, but why is it important? It's important for a lot of reasons, but the national security piece is clearly to me on tip of tongue. When we think about the fact that we made a military strike in the Mideast a month or so ago, and we did not have a spike in our energy prices when we made that. There was a time in America when we even thought of a military strike, we would have people in America who would experience a spike in their energy prices. And so we begin to become somewhat perhaps compromised on how we might handle our national security because we didn't want to have a negative impact on our economic security. Well, because of the men and women of the United States of America oil and gas industry, we're beginning to immunize ourselves, if you would, from some of those issues that prevent us from acting when it's in our best interest to act. So what goes on in Alabama, not only offshore but onshore, and what goes on in Louisiana and Mississippi and Texas is not only good for those states, but it's good because every American is connected to what happens in those states at the gas pump. So I'm excited about it. I think we got some opportunities to achieve this energy dominance, to continue to make sure that our economic security and our national security will never be compromised because we don't have the energy we need to fuel our great country.
I tell you what, that's great information. And something we all did talk about, that the energy spike and the price spike didn't happen. And that's a sign of good things to come. I got about 55 more questions for you, but we're going to have to do it on another time. Director Angel, thank you for your time. Thanks for being on with us.
Thank you so much. And again, I know that Mobile has a big Mardi Gras, and
yes,
that's coming around here before too long. So we want to wish the best of you guys. And, you know, we're very, very proud. I cannot let this conversation go. We're very, very proud of the fact that the SEC championship remains in. The national championship remains in the SEC, but the trophies reside in Baton Rouge instead of Tuscaloosa. So we're happy about it. And I realize that I probably just I probably just pissed off half your audience, but that's okay. At the risk of doing that, when you win, you get a chance to do that.
All right. Well noted, and congratulations. There is next year, Director. There is next year.
There you go. Well, you know, we've been saying that. Now it's your turn to say that.
For sure. It's hey, thank you. It's Director of the Bureau of Energy. You might say, that name seems, well, that's the new name for a division that had a name that we'll bury out there. But Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement, Director Scott Angel joining us.